Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Welcome to the Health Ranger Report, a special edition today with author, researcher, pioneer, even a philosopher, Dr. Emoto. He's famous for his book about messages from water. He's involved in many other interesting projects. We'll talk to him about that today through his translator, Fukiko, who joins us with Dr. Emoto by Skype video from Japan, of course. And we want to thank him for joining us by Skype. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Emoto.
Welcome, everyone, to the show.
Your work, Dr. Emoto, has had a profound impact on the understanding of let's say consciousness and matter in the world.
I'm aware of that. This kind of research hasn't been seen in the past, and I think I'm very overwhelmed by all the positive response of my research, and I think it will keep growing and will change even more impact to the world.
Many people believe that the challenges facing humanity today will require a shift in consciousness, a shift in understanding. Do you, Dr. Emoto, believe that that shift is already underway?
そうですね。まさに陶芸に関わっているといいましょうね。 ちゃんと症状ですね、うん。だから、これからどっちに行くのか、今とても重要な状況だと思います。
Yes, I think we are at the very, very critical turning point. So depending on our shift and our understanding the future of this world has a big difference.
Yes, it seems like we can choose from two different paths. One path seems to lead to our own destruction, the other perhaps to our salvation or rejuvenation, rebirth, let's say, as a species.
I completely agree with you.
Many people who have followed your research, they mistakenly thought that it was only about water. But can you speak to the larger implications of the interaction between consciousness and information and matter?
まず基本的に水というものが、情報、バイブレーション、というものを保持し、そして伝えていく、まあ、唯一の物質であると。すべてのですから情報交換というのは、水を通じて行われていると私は信じていますので、ですから、
Yes, first of all, I believe that the water is the only matter that can hold information in it or transfer or transmit information and...
まあ、緻密なその情報を伝えることが必要であればあるほど、その水の部分は増してくるわけですね。例えば、体の中の脳の部分は 93% の水分でなければならないですが、まあ、それだけいろいろな情報が頭にこう、すごくこう、水を吸って、見てい
And as we are all aware that that more than 70% of our physical body consists of water, and the more water we have in our body, the more and fine information we can carry. And for example, in our brain. We should have more than 93% of water to have our brain work properly.
まあ、日本でもアメリカでもアルツハイマーの問題やとか、深刻な問題となっていますけども、まあ、医学的にはそれが何が起きるのかあまり分かっていないようですが、やはり、脳の中の 93% ある水分が、とともにどんどんとそのパーセンテージが減っていくことによって、その記憶障害というのは出てくる。水のな記憶をしているので、それという非常にシンプルなことだと私は思うんですね。
So imagine if we lack water in our brain, what would happen? You see, many people nowadays in Japan or in the US, all over the world, people are suffering dementia or Alzheimer. That kind of condition because of lack of water in their brain. That's what I believe. So the less water we contain in our body, the less capacity or memory capacity we have. So if people are having difficult time figuring out how to cure this disease, but... If they are more aware about water and they could try to increase the percentage of water in our body, I think it's much easier to improve the condition.
And perhaps this is a basic question, but what are the implications for this of the water content of the food we eat? For example, are we able to absorb and assimilate the memories and experiences of water in the food.
そうですね。例えば、 ブドウはブドウなりの周波数、情報を持って、それは私たちの体の中のどこかの部分の周波数を活性化させるわけですね。いろいろな中のものがあって、それがなぜ必要かといえば、私たちの体の中の配合に対して動脈血を起こさせるため、活性化させるために、これは、というのが必要なわけですが、それは必ず水分とともに体の中に入って、体の隅々まで出たりされる。ですから、水がない、
Ah, very good point. All the food contains water in it, and also its water has a special unique quality. For example, let's say grape. Grape has its own frequency and information in it, and that would resonate with a specific part of our body or part or organ in our body.
Yes.
And through water in grape, we could absorb that information and frequency in our body so that we could resonate with a grape, and then we could activate our cells in our body.
I have a
Yes, water
question.
is necessary.
Yes. Thank you for that answer. I have a question on the analytical side. Has there been any research done, or does Dr. Emoto intend to study, for example, what is required to overwrite an imprint in the water? For example, if water comes from a polluted negative source, how much intention or consciousness or treatment is required to override that with a message of love and peace, for example?
まあ、その上書きをするということは、おっしゃる通り、可能なことですね。で、まち、ね、なんか、ネガティブな情報を是正するものとしては、やはり、感謝する思
で、そこまでできます。
ね。
Yes, it's very possible to overwrite any negative information in water. And in order to do that, I think the emotion of love and gratitude, they have to be combined together. Love and gratitude has the strongest power to overwrite negativity. And
この愛と感謝というような、情報が、思いが、私は免疫力というものを基本だと思っていると思っています。
And at the same time, I believe any immunity we have is based on the energy of love and gratitude.
どうしてその愛と感謝がすごいですか。愛というのは、まあ、ポジティブな態度の与えるものに対しては、ネガティブ態度のいただく方の、まあ、そういう感じに二極の、エネルギーのそれぞれの代表が愛と感謝であり、これがしっかりさえしていれば、この地球元の人間も全くの魅力になることはないというのを。
You know, and we live in this world of polarity. We always have a positive and negative, or active, passive. These two are polarity. And of course, love and gratitude, they are both positive. But love is more like an active giving energy, and gratitude is more passive and receiving energy. We need to have these two qualities, love and gratitude.
Very good point. Let me take a few moments to recommend the websites and the books from Dr. Emoto. One of the first websites you'll want to check out, folks, is the Emoto Peace Project at emotoproject.com. There's also a mobile application for iPhones. It's called Myhado, and it's Myhado. Myhado.com is where you can find that application. In addition, some of the books out there by Dr. Emoto, you're probably already familiar with several of them, are The Message from Water, The True Power of Water, and the newest book, Messages from Water and the Universe. And there is Dr. Emoto holding up some of those books. The third one, there we go, is published by Hay House, a well-known publisher in these realms. There we go, Messages from Water and the Universe from Hay House. So be sure to check out those books, available everywhere, including Amazon.com and other locations. My next question, Dr. Emoto, and thank you again for taking the time here. It seems that water is, even in scientific circles, water is such an incredible mystery. It has so many even physical properties that scientists don't necessarily understand. For example, it gets larger when it freezes instead of contracting. Its molecules are always connecting and disconnecting their covalent bonds, for example. Do you believe that the mystery of water is even deeper than what we can tap into as with human intellect?
Yes. Very good point. Again, I believe, let's say water has this 100 quality, or if it's 100% of the knowledge it holds, we human beings only are aware to see 3% of it at this moment.
これはまあ偶然にも我々の DNA の適切に達成が3%と多いので
。And at the same time, we have human DNA in our body, but scientists, specialists say that out of 100% of our DNA, we have only been activated 3% of it.
Yes.
And, so again, it's 3%. In other words, 90% of our DNA hasn't been 97% of our DNA hasn't been activated. That means we are 97% ignorant being.
Yes. Speaking of that.
When you hear that, maybe we tend to feel disappointed, and we are so sad. We are only able to have 3% of our, our whole power. But at the same time, we could have this tremendous hope because, we 97% of us has yet to be discovered.
Yes.
So we have a great hope in future.
Absolutely.
Imagine what happens, if we are able to activate 100% of our DNA. I sometimes wonder, why we still have such a great mystery about water. Why we don't know that much of water?
で、それは結果的に言うと、彼らにとっては都合の悪いことであって、人々は常に無知の方が彼らにとっては都合が良いということから、もう何千年にもわたって、この問題は、タブーになったというふうに思っています。
So, actually, I believe, people who are in power, you know, or authorities, they know water has water is the key for our evolution. And if we know more about water, we gain more knowledge about water. We know how to activate our DNA more, and then we could be much more wise and smart. And if that happens, we this mass of humanity is not ignorant anymore, and not easy to control. Mm-hmm. So people in power have been suppressed all these critical knowledge and truth about water.
Yes,
I think that's another reason, you know, why we don't know.
I completely agree. It seems like in many ways the conventional systems of knowledge institutions have worked very hard to separate us from gaining more knowledge, advancing in awareness, exploring areas that are not considered part of the status quo, almost as if there is an effort to make sure we don't discover those things that would set us free. Does Dr. Emoto agree with that assessment?
Yes, I agree with you. It's such a regretful thing, but they just want to hold critical information and knowledge only within their community so that they can control the world and they could keep gaining their profit.
Well, thanks to the work of people like Dr. Emoto, the greater understanding is coming out no matter what.
I appreciate your kind words, but I'm not special in any way, and I'm just a normal human being, you know, like a man just next door, and all I did was just to be friendly with water.
Well, we have a saying in America that is, in a time of great deception, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
It take some courage, I suppose. And because of that, I've been having some challenges as well, sometimes I just joke about my life. I say like my wife is like walking on the wall of a jail.
Interesting. I have a scientific question as well. One of the most profound discoveries in conventional science recently, getting back to your DNA comment, is that inheritance is more than just genetic code. There are these epigenetic factors called transgenerational epigenetic inheritance factors, which indicate that some inheritance is beyond DNA. There's information, just like in water.
Well, yeah, I'm not a scientist, but it's very interesting. You know, as you mentioned, there's something epigenetic, and now I feel that this something epigenetic, in order to activate this something epigenetic, I think using a power of water, by using the power of water, we could activate it, this this power more, and then people who are able to activate this mystery epigenetic quality, they have more insight and more inspiration, a stronger inspiration, and more understanding, much deeper understanding of the reality, I believe.
Well, imagine what we're really capable of if so far we've only activated 3% of our genetic code. We have the other 97%, but then above that we have an entire layer of information that is epigenetic, and then we have the water factor involved in all of that. It seems like we've only barely begun to tap into our potential of understanding.
Yes, you know, we have a great hope, and you know, I believe that water is interdimensional. Even though our physical body can only live in this 3D world, you know, we have 4D, 5D, 6D, 7D, you know, 10D. And in order to go beyond dimensions in our living physical body, I think we need to use or borrow the power of water by being, by using the power of water. I think we human beings can also be interdimensional and travel between dimensions.
Wow, that's fascinating. We could do a whole another interview on that, but I want to be respectful of your time. I have one last question for you. Then from that, do you believe that water itself has consciousness, and that is what allows it to contain memories and information?
神は神のメッセンジャーであると言うのではなくて、そのメッセージを受け取れるということは、まさに神ですよね。Well, I believe that water is a messenger of the God or divine. So when we are able to receive this message properly, we could become divine and God-like. That's what I believe.
Well, that's a very powerful message for our time, and I want to thank you, Fukiko, for your assistance, and also Dr. Emoto for taking the time today.
I'm sorry. Dr. Emoto would like to add just one...
Please, go ahead.
This kind of study or knowledge can be called, I think it's a study of hado. Hado means subtle vibration. And so I do hold a workshop and school called Hado School or Hado Instructor School around the world. And the most the closest one which will be held is the one in Scotland. We have Haro Instructor School from September 18th through 20th.
Well, again, I want to thank you, Fukiko and Dr. Emoto.
You're listening to the Health Ranger Report on Natural News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Hello and welcome to the Health Ranger Report. This is Mike Adams with Natural News, joined today again by Dr. Len Saputo. His website is drsaputo.com. And today he's here to discuss with us a crucial issue, especially for Californians. Did you know that there is a monopoly for cancer treatment in California, that no one is legally allowed to treat patients for cancer unless they follow the very limited and very toxic conventional cancer treatment protocols, which are, of course, toxic chemotherapy chemicals, radiation, and surgery. Basically, what? Poison them, burn them, and cut them. And there's got
to
be a better way.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not being politically correct. Let's talk about, I mean, you know, when women come out of the surgeon's office with both breasts cut off and they never had breast cancer, that is maiming the woman. I mean, let's talk about what it is. That's physical mutilation of a woman by the cancer industry. I mean, go ahead, Dr. Saputo. I know that was probably not the introduction you wanted to start with, but go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Well, you know, we might as well call it what it is. It is that exactly. What I try to do is be a little bit more politically correct with my medical board and with my colleagues so they aren't so anti what I think. But I agree with you fully. And I think the tragic part of this is there are, our survival rate using standard oncological treatments for stage 4 cancer is about 2%, which is a tragedy. I mean... And then people are sick and they have all these complications that go with it. And when you're using complementary alternative therapies, there is data to support that that number can rise as high as 20 to 40 or sometimes even 50%.
Absolutely.
And people in California don't have access to this because of the laws that there are.
It's extraordinary. Let's get to that in a minute. But first, I want to mention this 2% that you mentioned, and you're accurate about that. I've looked at that as well. Why is the cancer industry allowed to have a monopoly on the treatments when it has a 98% failure rate?
I mean, that's easy. It's because of the money. I mean, let's face it, what runs this country is money. And when you have a huge pharmaceutical industry that's making tremendous profits off this, and they are funding the FDA to the tune of about a third, okay, of their total income, there's a lot of conflict of interest there. And so to get the FDA to change its stance or to get Congress to change its stance because it's a puppet of these large corporations, the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry, that explains it right there. It's not about conscience. It's not about doing the right thing. It's not about providing service. It's about doing what they can to make as much money as they can. It's the good old boys club.
Yeah, absolutely. That's clearly what it is. And unfortunately, the victims are the hundreds of thousands of people who go in and undergo cancer, you know, conventional cancer treatments every year. Now, they're lied to in so many ways. One of the big lies is, oh, we're able to shrink your tumor by 80%, therefore that's good. Why is shrinking the tumor not an answer to cancer?
Well, I mean, you want to look at mortality rates. What's your five-year survival rate? You may do fine with a smaller cancer for a while, but if it doesn't extend your life, what's the point? Particularly if you don't have any symptoms to start with, which most people who have advanced cancer don't have much in the way of symptoms. I mean, some have a lot of pain for sure, and some have organ dysfunction when the disease is very aggressive. But the bulk of patients who have cancer, they do fine until the last couple of months or so.
Well, or
before they're dying.
Until they get on chemotherapy. I mean, that's when the symptoms really start kicking. I've witnessed many people, some in my own family, dying from chemotherapy. And when you talk to them or you talk to the people around them in their immediate household, they will describe that person as dying from cancer. And I say, no, wait a minute. They're dying from chemotherapy. They're being poisoned. Yeah. It's clear that the hair falls out, vomiting, loss of muscle mass, loss of brain function. Come on, this is chemical poisoning.
Well, there's no question about that. And I'll have to say, though, in defense of oncologists, that there are some cancers that respond pretty well to that. You look at your lymphomas and leukemias. In general, they do pretty well, as opposed to doing nothing. But for the bulk of cancers, if you've got a stage 4 cancer, even the oncologists themselves in general reject their own treatment, yet they prescribe it to their patients.
Right.
And a lot of the reason for that is, again, you know, I think it's an unconscious and sometimes, unfortunately, conscious awareness that what's happening is they're going to make money from that. And that's why they tend to promote the new drugs that are the most expensive ones, because, you know, a third of an oncologist's income comes from the sale of drugs.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. That's a big issue. You know, if you take your spouse or family member in to see an oncologist, the oncologist diagnoses them with cancer, which is often a false diagnosis, and then sells them the drugs and makes money off the drugs. Isn't that like taking your car to some corrupt mechanic who said, oh, yeah, your transmission needs to be overhauled. You got your Wigger Majagger Doogie that's broken back in there.
That's right.
You know, I mean, isn't that the same thing, a complete conflict of interest?
It totally is a conflict of interest, and it should be stopped. There's no question. But that is the way it is. And the arrangement that a big pharma has with the doctors, is the oncologists, is a good one for them financially, because the doctor makes a little, the pharmaceutical industry makes a ton, and the patient's insurance is expensive. So we're looking at a deal that's totally corrupt. It needs to be stopped. We need to pass legislation that allows people to be able to have the treatment they want. When you've got cancer, what you'd like to have is an integrative style. Why would you just want to take either the mainstream therapies by themselves, particularly when you know that the five-year survival for stage 4 cancers is so low, or why would you just want to do complementary and alternative therapies from a lot of people that you may not trust? I think it needs to be done in an integrative way. We need to look at the whole person. Each person is different. It's not one size fits all. All these kinds of things when it comes to treating cancer are absolutely vital to consider if you're a real doctor. If you're just following some cookbook that says you do this for that, Yeah, everybody's in the medical profession is going to think you're just fine. You're doing what they say you're supposed to do. But that's not the best treatment for the patient.
Well, but again, the interests of the patient have been thrown out the window. But look,
I think
what we need, and this would be great for the California economy as well, what we need is Governor Brown to pass a mandate and use the State Guard troops to say that everybody must have chemotherapy. And now you line everybody in California, you line them up at the state capitol building, and you have a bunch of guard dogs out there, and you bring a bunch of rifles from the state guards people, and then you just inject them all with chemotherapy, and you say it's a public health policy, it's preventing disease, and it's good for the economy because you sell all these drugs, you bill Medicare for all the injections. And, you know, hey, what's wrong with that, Dr. Saputo?
Well, see, you've taken it to a level that makes it look ridiculous, which, of course, it should. I'd love to see your cartoon on that one, because I know you have a book of cartoons that I think are hilarious, but they're really sad because they tell the story of what's really going on behind the scenes. And while we say things like that, you know, we're not that far away from the reality of exactly what you're talking about.
No, we're not that far away. That's happened with vaccines already.
We try to
already.
Do that with immunizations. You know, everybody needs to take their immunizations, right? Or else there are lots of problems that develop. Well, and that's another topic that's just like this one.
This is the problem with the so-called medical science community that becomes monopolistic, that becomes closed-minded, that becomes a cult, essentially a cult of medicine that's not open to being questioned, that's not open to complementary therapies, that's not open to the free market even.
No.
When you get a concentration of power in the hands of any one group, I don't care if it's doctors, politicians, warmongers, you name it, there's going to be corruption. There's going to be criminal type of activity. There's going to be mandates that harm the public. And that's what we're seeing here.
That's exactly right. And there is a solution to this, but it's not happening.
So what is the solution?
The solution that I see is that we have to stop fighting the system so much and evolve at a personal level so that our values become different. You know, it was Einstein who said you can't solve a problem at the same level it was created. And I'm a firm believer of that. So when we stand up against people, which I think we need to do, don't take me wrong, I think we also have to not just create revolutions and revolve around the same problems repeatedly over centuries. We need to evolve to a higher level of consciousness where evolution, okay, is what happens in terms of how we deal with how we operate in our government. People need to be concerned about everybody, not just themselves. This narcissistic way of looking at how the world treats me is understandable. But until we want to give rather than take, until we want to love instead of be loved is the main thing, we're going to have the same problems that never change. We need to be the change we want to see. We need to be aggressive about realizing that every time we do something that's right and somebody notices that, it's going to make a change. And it'll be an evolutionary change because it will inspire people, if it's a good thing, to want to behave like you do. And every time somebody that's a good guy comes from the bad side onto your side, you've done something that's fantastic. So it's really important that individuals take that kind of attitude where we really try to build community. And that's what my message is for all of our everything that's in our culture, whether it be business or law or religion or sport or science. It doesn't matter. It's everything needs to evolve.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Len. In fact, consciousness, I think the understanding of consciousness, the respect of consciousness needs to be the centerpiece, I believe, of the next revolution of philosophical foundation for our civilization. However, what you were just describing there sounds like a different race. That's not modern humans, you know?
No, that's right.
That's
why it's called evolution.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to change. In fact, there was a recent study that from the world of anthropological science showing that in the last 100 years, the shape of human skulls has shifted and changed. Our skulls have become taller and more narrow. We're actually becoming a different species. There's also a movie called Idiocracy that talks about how we devolve into a species of retards.
Go ahead. And you did a wonderful video that talked about consciousness. Everybody should take a look at that.
It's clearly the key. But yet today, our society is dominated by an infant philosophy, an infant mentality, where people really are. It's all about me, me, me. They exactly. do not think about long-term implications. They do not think about the better good for the community. They're so focused on themselves. Now, and this is reinforced by the materialistic messages of propaganda, of marketing, of politics, of Absolutely. You know, stock market, everything. It's all about how to get more power and how to get more money and how to be a bigger-headed, big ego person. That's got to change. And I mean, I'm open to ideas. I'm not sure how exactly that gets changed, but...
Well, you're inspiring people, Mike. You're doing a real good job of inspiring people. Your website is free, right?
That's right.
My website is free. We don't charge a penny for any information that's on the site, nor do you. And that's a good start because it's sharing. It's building community. It's educating people. It's inspiring them to want to participate with that kind of a philosophy. And while that's not mainstream yet, there is a trend that's going on that's impossible to stop. I think it's inevitable that good will prevail over evil because of that.
Yes.
And I have great faith that over time that could happen. But if we just set our sights at fighting, we're going to wind up in FEMA camps.
I agree with you. By the way, I've got an announcement coming up in a couple of weeks along the very lines you're describing that will surprise you and I think surprise our entire audience, but it is a shift of focus to consciousness, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But you know, some people say that there must be a greater force in the universe that's somehow going to lift us into a higher consciousness. Other people say that we're currently being suppressed. There's like a vibration grid on the planet that's keeping us down, and that's going to be lifted. There are lots of different theories about, you know, God or karma, or even some people talk about aliens. I mean, whatever.
Yep.
But
yeah, sure.
Do you think there's any truth to any of that? And there's also the Mayan calendar thing coming up at the end of this year. What are your thoughts on you know, universal spirituality?
Well, I think that that's what's happening, but I think it starts one person at a time. And I think that if we be the change we want to see, you know, the old Gandhi stuff, that is what makes change happen. And it's the only thing that I really have great faith in, because I think that we can be the change we want to see. And there have been isolated cases where we see people who have done that, the prophets and people that are even lesser than that doing that. And I just think that that kind of inspiration goes a long way. And we could be at a place where, yeah, I don't think there's an apocalypse, but I don't think 2012 is about that. The Mayans don't think that.
Yeah, right.
I know people are directly connected with the Mayans, and they're going, what do you mean? The calendar ends, that's it. But it's certainly an opportunity for us to awaken, because it's like looking at what are we doing with our lives? How are we being constructive about being a better people? How do we have human evolution do something that actually has teeth to it? And one by one, as we become inspired to be that way and we actually act that way, I think it's going to make the good people, or the people even that aren't necessarily on the right track, begin to see that this change is happening. And if we just get together, it could turn out to be a landslide change that really makes a difference in how this country and how the world operates.
I completely agree. And I think one of the keys is really getting to this issue of consciousness, because... Mm-hmm. If the population can be properly educated or made aware of the realization that there is a consciousness element of you that exists above and beyond the physical body.
Absolutely.
Right? And that yes. consciousness element does not die when the physical body dies.
That's right.
That means there is some experience, there is some reality after this life. And yet you've got this whole group of so-called scientists. I'm talking about the physicists like, you know, Stephen Hawking and the skeptics
Sure.
and all these people who say there is no consciousness, there is no free will, you are biological robots. When your body stops pumping blood, you die, and that's the end forever, the lights go out, that's it. That belief system, I believe, leads to an immoral society because there's no consequence to your actions. It's moral relativism.
Well, you're right, and I saw that. You're talking of the video that you made, and I saw Stephen Hawking's, as you interviewed him, talk like that. But, I mean, who the hell is Stephen Hawking? I mean, basically, he's a big brain. He's definitely dominant on the scientific side. We really need to look more at the role of spirit in healing. We need to trust that what we see in the environment, as we look, I mean, look out your window, what do you see? you see all kinds of life, and you see a human body or animals or all the complex natures of what we are is so unbelievably complicated. And something had to organize this. And that organizing force is what I would call God or Mother Nature. And that's self-evident. We don't need Stephen Hawking to tell us that you'll be dead in your spirit, or if there is a spirit, will be gone. You can use your own common sense.
No, he says there is no spirit. There is no mind, no consciousness.
Well, how does he know? How does he know?
Well, the really interesting question is that if he proposes that theory, then who wrote his book?
Right.
Because he didn't write it. He doesn't have free will. That his book was really, it could have been monkeys typing on a piece of paper randomly. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Therefore, whatever he says has to be discounted because by his own theory, he claims that he did not decide to write it.
That's right. Well, see, there's a spectrum between science and spirituality, between left brain and right brain, that we need to appreciate. And they're on the same spectrum. And so you can look at science through spirituality. You can look at spirituality through science. For me, frankly, I've lost confidence in science for the most part because I think it's trivial. And you don't really get to solve a lot of the questions that you're asking about anything. They talk about the scientific method, which is so far off base. When we do our double-blinded placebo-controlled studies, well, we've got multiple factors in there we're trying to control, and it doesn't work. Plus, right. In addition, we've got this thing in our own minds.
The observer.
That has a lot to affect what turns out. And that's why today's science is as bad as it is. I'd say 1% or 2% of what's published in the mainstream literature has really got some teeth to it. The other 98% is just crap. And that's part of the reason why.
Yeah. The U.S. government just recently announced that women shouldn't take vitamin D. I mean, that's their scientific conclusion. Vitamin D is bad for you.
It gets extreme, like what you're saying. But if we use our common sense, you know, you can put a nickel in a black box, and if a quarter comes out, do it again. That's called an outcome study. You haven't got a clue of what the scientific basis of it was, but you have a big clue about what the outcome was. And that's how we should be doing more of our science, not the way that we're doing it now.
Well, there's also this degradation into the materialistic science. Even the drug companies, when they have television commercials describing how their drugs work, they always use these fake computer-generated physical objects interacting as if it's a key that opens a lock on a molecule, like a physical lock. It's not like that at all. It has nothing to do with that. It's not all physical. In fact, mostly what's physical isn't even there, right? I mean, you know, the atom is 99.9999 whatever percent empty space. So,
well, we're practicing primitive science. We're in the Newtonian generation, but we're in a quantum physics reality.
Yes.
And if you ignore that, you simply, you know, what we tend to do in science is if we don't understand something, we just throw it out. And the point that I'm trying to make is I think that our intuition, our relationship with spirit, our connection with the universe is a very real thing. Where do you get your ideas? Where does Stephen Hawking get his ideas? That comes from a mysterious place, but it's real. And that's where the guts of things are. Not so much in a test tube that's trying to find out isolated information that on a grander scale of looking at the whole subject of whatever you're studying is too fragmented and too inconsequential. It's too small. We need to look at the whole picture of what's happening in a quantum nature. That's where medicine is moving too. That's why we're looking at light therapies and electrical therapies and magnetic therapies and God knows what else we're going to come up with as we get immersed in that more. And where does that information come from? Where do we get the ideas to do that? That's the magic part.
Look, I have never met a scientist who could explain to me how a magnet works.
Exactly.
Not a single scientist. There is no scientist on this planet that understands magnetism. They can describe the behavior of it with consistency.
Right.
But there's not one that understands it. There's not even one that understands how a transistor works.
No, not Stephen Hawking either.
Of course not. Of course
nobody.
Not.
Nobody. We can't describe. We don't know any more than descriptions about all the physical laws of nature, whether it be gravity or electricity or magnetism or whatever else you want to look at. We yes. don't know what they are. All we can do is say, this is what they do in that setting sometimes.
Yeah, and much less talk about the origins of the universe.
Right.
And I remember...
That's almost hilarious.
Yeah, it is. I think it was Hawking who said in one of his books, I think this was in The Grand Design, that the universe came into existence because it can.
Oh, there's a good reason.
That sounds very scientific, doesn't it?
Not to me. Yeah, no, I think we have a long way to go in medicine, especially. A lot of what I do when I see a patient, particularly a cancer patient, is I'm looking at that person as a whole person. And I want to know what as much as I can about what's important to them, what makes them tick. I want to help them heal, which doesn't mean necessarily cure their cancer. I want to help them move along their spiritual path so they understand more about what happened to them and why and how they benefit from that. And so many people, when they're in the face of catastrophe, really learn some important things about their life that give it great meaning and worthwhile to go through.
Yes.
And so I did that myself when I had my hip problem. As you know, I nearly died about 8 months ago when I had a complication that developed from it. But I really learned a lot from that, and much of it had to do with learning to listen to people and to care and to be present and to look at them as individuals. And these are the kinds of things that make a doctor truly a healer, or anybody truly a healer.
Well, this comes down to honoring the sacred divinity of life, of consciousness.
Yes, indeed.
And consciousness is part of that, because how can you honor an individual if you don't believe that they are even alive, essentially?
Exactly.
This is why the philosophy of no consciousness, of no free will, of no spirit feeds right into the medical complex, because what could possibly be the harm of using, let's say, little children as guinea pigs in medical experiments? They're not real anyway. They're not really alive anyway. If they scream and cry, if suffering from a vaccine side effect, that's just a biological pinball machine. You know, it's not real. That this is what they say to themselves.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I have learned to use my intuition. I will ponder on something, not knowing what the answer is, and feeling quite comfortable being in that space, and then allowing information to pour through me as I'm reflecting and I'm really deep in the present tense, very concerned and very much involved with suggestions or ideas of how I can help each individual patient, because they all deserve that. It's not like it's one size fits all. It's not about drugs and chemicals. It's not about any kind of scientific approach. It's about looking at the whole picture. You know, body, mind, emotion, and spirit are one thing. They're not pieces. And the human being is hardwired to respond in all those dimensions every single time something happens. And where that comes from, we haven't got a clue, but it's there. And if we as doctors or healers of any kind will respect that and will be humble so that we will listen to the messages that come from wherever they come and wind up in our heads, we then can be in a place to really support our patients to follow the healing path. And that's what they need. It's not about chemotherapy, and it's not about necessarily fixing the cancer. It's about supporting people where they are in a way that they can understand, that's going to help them move along their spiritual path. Now you're talking about real healing.
Yeah, exactly. And that can't be quantified in a recipe laid down by Medicare or Medicaid, right?
That's for sure.
It's
we're all different.
Absolutely. And it also then recognizes the role of the patient in taking responsibility for their own healing journey as well.
Right.
So it's not go ahead.
Well, look at these poor cancer patients. They go to their oncologist because they're scared to death not to go to the real doctor, right? And they're going to get what they tell them, whether it's good or bad. They may have stage 4 cancer that's incurable, that they're going to be dead in 3 or 4 months. And they're still scared to death not to take the advice that says, here, take this chemotherapy. Here, do this radiation. Even though it's got about a 2% chance in those stage 4 patients. That, to me, is intimidation. And that's what runs an awful lot of what we do in our culture in many areas, not just in medicine. And it's a tragedy, because what we take away from people is their participation, their path in life, what they need to get from the experiences that they're having, and to be supported through that process. Who's there to do that when you've got a cookbook approach to saying, do this, that, or the other.
Well, right. It's a factory industry. The cancer industry and oncology just looks a lot like factory raising of cattle. You know, you herd the cattle into the system. You know, you tase them with the baton.
Right.
You know, you carve out their flesh, pull them off as steaks and hamburgers. And you know, the cancer patients are just exploited for profit.
Do what's best for humanity and for the planet. That's what life should be about. That's my goal. I know it's yours.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Dr. Saputo, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Until next time. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care then.